I'd like to call to order the regular council meeting for March 5th, 2013, and ask our Councilman Chris Mislanek to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman. Madam City Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor McLean.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Scott.
Here.
Councilmember Baca.
Here.
Councilmember Bell.
Here.
Councilmember Edwards.
Here.
Councilmember Martinez.
Here.
Councilmember Mazlanek.
Present.
Councilmember Rose.
Here.
Councilmember Wallen.
Here.
You have a quorum, Your Honor.
Thank you, ma'am. And the present reminded me of a previous councilman that would always say present, and that was David Gill.
I was going to say, that was David Gill, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks for turning the pages back in time.
I do what I can, Mayor. I'm trying to keep you young.
Madam City Clerk, would you please read the consent agenda?
Item 2A, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Brighton, Colorado, authorizing the submittal of a grant application to Great Outdoors Colorado in the amount of $100,000 for the North Elementary Malcolm Park Play Yard project and authorizing the city manager to execute the grant application.
Thank you, ma'am. What is the pleasure of council on the consent agenda? Councilwoman?
I would like to approve the consent agenda as read into the record.
We have a motion from Councilwoman Baca and a
second
from Councilwoman Martinez. Any discussion? Roll call vote. And the motion passes 9-0. Thank you, Council. Next item on our agenda is approval of the regular agenda. Mr. Escobar, are there any changes to the regular agenda?
Yes, Mayor. You have before you an amended agenda this evening. The only difference between the regular agenda and the amended agenda is we have added 4B, proclamation for CASA, for your consideration this evening.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Escobar. What is the pleasure of council on the regular agenda? Councilman Mazlanek?
Mayor, I move that we approve tonight's agenda with the addition of item 4B.
Thank you. Mr. Edwards?
I'd like to second that motion.
We have a motion and second. Any other comments or additions? Mayor Pro Tem.
Mayor, do we need an executive session to discuss?
No.
Okay.
We do not.
Can you add one?
Yep. We will have that next week. Okay. Motion and a second. No other comments. Roll call vote. The amended agenda is passed 9-0. Next item on our agenda is ceremonies. We have a Civil Air Patrol contingency here, and I believe Mike Kearns is here to introduce the group and come forward if you want to bring the whole squadron or... It'd take more than that to intimidate us, believe me.
Keep that up and the mayor's going to have us in her city hall like that.
I think that's a good idea.
We'd like to thank the council members for inviting us. This is Adams County Civil Air Patrol Squadron 803 from here, right here in Brighton, Colorado. And we'd like to, we'll start with the Assistant Deputy Commander. He will we'll give his rank and name, and then we'll just go right on down the list.
I'm Jerry Kaufman. I'm a lieutenant in the Civil Air Patrol, and I'm the Deputy Commander for the squadron.
I'm Cadet Master Sergeant Senna. I am the Deputy Commander of the squadron.
I'm Priscilla Lopez, and I'm an airman.
You need to speak loud enough so the microphone will pick it up so everybody can hear it. Now, I know that you all can speak loud. I was in the service at one time, and I know how loud voices can be in the service. So.
I'm Cadet Major Chalo Liberty. I'm the Cadet Commander of the squadron.
I'm Carson Combs. I am a first airman of the squadron.
I'm Cadet Senior Master Sergeant Jeremy Kearns. I'm the Color Guard Commander for the squadron.
Cadet Schaefer, First Class Airman.
I'm Cadet Ellsworth, Airman First Class, and Park.
We are really proud to have you all here. Does somebody want to speak and give us a little more information on the Civil Air Patrol and what you're doing?
Well, the Civil Air Patrol has been around since December 1st, 1941. We have over 60,000 members worldwide here in the United States. We do search and rescue. We have aerospace education, integrity, respect, moral leadership, missions that we do. Right now in Colorado, we have eight planes that we do missions, not only for search and rescue for hikers or hunters, but also for downed airplanes. The squadron you see in front of you, we're 54 strong here in the Brighton area, so it's a lot of cadets that are on search and rescue. We have encampment in Colorado Springs at the Air Force Academy that's a week long in June. So we do a lot of search and rescue. Same thing with, FEMA. So a lot of these cadets are FEMA certified. Some of them are Colorado CERT certified. So we take it seriously. We are a branch of the United States Air Force. And these cadets, as you can tell, also take it seriously. And they're proud to serve America on the search and rescue side of our military branches.
Well, that's great to know. And we've seen a few of the cadets around town here and there. But it's great to have you here and give us your message. And we're proud to have you serving us. So thank you. Any other comments from council? Councilwoman.
I'm glad to see we have at least one young woman in the whole group, and hopefully there are more, and if not, we need to work on that. But appreciate having you all here tonight and also for the service that you do for our community.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
At ease. Next item on our agenda is public invited. Oh, I'm sorry. We do have one other item under ceremonies. We have a proclamation for CASA of Adams and Broomfield Counties. Proclamation from the City of Brighton to CASA of Adams and Broomfield Counties. Whereas the City of Brighton prides itself on giving back to the community, contributing to the quality of life among our citizens. Whereas court-appointed special advocates for children, CASA, of Adams and Broomfield Counties in association with the National Court-Appointed Special Advocates Association speaks for the best interest of our abused and neglected children who are involved in the juvenile courts, and whereas through community efforts, the City of Brighton residents are encouraged to join together to raise awareness for these children who have fallen victims to abuse and neglect throughout the month of April and continuing through the year, and whereas through this effort, we'll give abused and neglected children in our community and around the country a chance for a safe and positive future. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City and the Council of Brighton, do proclaim that the month of April 2013 as Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month. Be it further resolved that the Council urges all citizens to join a local and national effort to raise awareness and help prevent child abuse and neglect. Dated this 5th day of March 2013, City of Brighton, Richard M. McLean, Mayor, Wayne Scott, Mayor Pro Tem, Lynn Baca, Rex Bell, J.W. Edwards, Cynthia Martinez, Chris Maslanik, Wilma Rose, and Kirby Wallen. What is the pleasure of Council on this proclamation? Councilwoman Martinez?
I'd make a motion to approve the proclamation as read by our mayor.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilwoman?
I second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. The motion passes 9-0. Is there somebody in the audience to receive this proclamation? We'll make sure Simone Jones, who is the executive director of CASA, does receive this. Don't leave us, Manny. Next item six, public hearings, or I'm sorry, five, public invited to be heard on matters not on the agenda. Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to speak on matters not on the agenda? Do you have any sheets that are turned in, Madam City Clerk?
I do not, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Nothing under public hearings, nothing under ordinances for final consideration, so we'll move on down to item eight. Eight is resolutions. 8A is a resolution amending certain accounts in the general cemetery, lottery, capital improvements, parks and recreation, capital improvements, water, wastewater, and storm drainage funds, and appropriating money for expenditures in the 2013 budget amendment. Mr. Escobel?
Yes, our budget director, Burnett Kimmy, will be handling this matter.
Good evening.
Good evening, Burnett.
Capital projects that were not completed by December 31, 2012 need to be rebudgeted in 2013 so those projects can be completed. Also, a few operational items budgeted in 2012 will be performed in 2013, and those monies need to be moved from the 2012 budget to the 2013 budget. There's money available in the various funds to cover the proposed budget amendments. And I will go through each of these items for the convenience of our audience. In the general operating fund, we are requesting an increase of $281,333. This includes $5,000 for the Adams County Youth Initiative donation, $843 for Eye for Art donations and commissions, $35,414 for the Parks and Recreation Administration, the Old Senior Center, and the Aquatic Park Expansion Studies, $40,000 for cemetery management plan in 2013, $25,000 for insurance additional expenses, $57,595 for community development engineering professional services, $26,320 for community development planning and zoning professional services, and $91,161 for the streets fleet administration professional services. And that is for the Tower Road and Southern Street design and engineering. And Joe Smith will go into more details on this line item in a little bit. In the lottery fund, we are requesting an increase of $35,359, and that will include completing the Benedict Park design and the Eagle View Park design. In the capital improvement fund, we're requesting an increase of $1,808,688. That includes cemetery improvements, armory light repairs, Highway 85 monument signs, the historic city hall projects, new city hall projects, police building projects, the 50-50 sidewalk program, the I-76 and Bridge Street interchange, alley paving, traffic signals, Bromley Lane and South Main Street, truck route signs, the street shop concrete bay, finance software, and IT software, fiber, and equipment. In the Parks and Recreation Capital Improvement Fund, we are requesting an increase of $242,805. That includes recreation center repairs, Eagle View Park construction, the parks maintenance shop improvements, Bromley Hishinuma Farm, recreation equipment, ball field maintenance, park signs, open space improvements, and the Ken Mitchell Fishing Pier. In the water, wastewater, and storm drainage funds, we separate that out. The water fund portion, we are requesting an increase of $3,784,752. That includes the RO brine treatment, non-potable system, 148th augmentation line, the Ken Mitchell Lake Cell 1, the Ken Mitchell Ergers equalization line, the Ergers Pond outfitting, the Ken Mitchell security fencing, brine disposal work group, well 11 inspection, water line replacement, North storage tank security and inspection, the North storage tank cathodic protection, and raw water pipe valve replacement. The sewer fund portion, we are requesting an increase of $1,114,534, which includes sewer system flow analysis, manhole repairs, sewer pipe repairs, raw sewage pump and motor replacement. And finally, the storm drainage fund, we are requesting an increase of $77,387, which includes south outfall improvements and the Prairie Center outfall improvements. So you can see there's quite a few projects that were not completed in 2012 that will be completed in 2013. Are there any questions?
Questions of Bernadette from council? Councilwoman Martinez?
Bernadette, I just had one question. The cemetery management plan?
Yes.
What was that? I was trying to remember.
I believe Gary Wardle could address that more specifically. I'll let him do that.
Gary, I know there's a difference between the cemetery improvement in the capital improvement fund, but I can't remember what we were working on for the cemetery plan.
Right. And the general fund is a cemetery management plan, and we're going to hire a consultant to come in and review all of our processes at the cemetery to include staffing patterns, products we're offering, our fees and charges, how we do the different processes.
Is that something, since the city's supplementing the cemetery. Is that part of what we're looking at as well?
Right, yeah, we're trying to figure out how we maybe can make this more of an enterprise fund.
Okay.
And that's the plan.
Okay, thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Any other questions, Brenda? We've gone over and seen these numbers a few times. So. Thank you, Bernadette. What is the pleasure of council on 8A? Councilman Maslam?
Mayor, I'd move that we approve item 8A as presented this evening.
I have a motion from Councilman Maslanek. And Councilman Bell is... Councilman Bell is seconding it. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Motion passes 9-0. Thank you, Bernadette.
Thank you.
C. Next resolution is item 8B, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Brighton, Colorado, approving a First Amendment to Credit PIF Collection Services Agreement. Bernadette?
Since Prairie Center opened in 2005, the city has been collecting the credit PIFs, and the PIFs is a short acronym, and it stands for the Public Improvement Fee. And this Public Improvement Fee was initiated to help pay for the infrastructure that was installed at Prairie Center. So since 2005, the city has been collecting those fees from the retailers at Prairie Center. The city then forwards the money to the bond trustee on a monthly basis to help pay for the debt that it was incurred to install this infrastructure. In the Credit PIF Collection Services Agreement, it does allow the city to be removed as the collection agent for these credit PIFs on taxable transactions subject to sales tax only. So that would be the credit PIFs that are charged by the retailers at the Prairie Center. And I believe that the Prairie Center Metro District would like to have the city removed as the collection agent, and they will have their accounting firm take that over just to streamline processes. It will actually save the city a couple of hours of city staff time each month, but then more time and expense will be incurred by their accountants. So the city did receive notice in a proper fashion that we would be removed effective February 1, 2013. But the city will remain as the collection agent for these credit PIFs on taxable transactions subject to building use tax. So as building permits are taken out for new construction in the Prairie Center area, there's a credit PIF, an add-on PIF, and a facility fee that's collected at that time. And the city will continue to handle those transactions and submit the monies to the bond trustee. Sally Tasker, who is the city's special counsel, has reviewed this agreement and prepared the attached resolution that's in front of you. Are there any questions?
Mayor Pro Tem?
I'm not sure if this is a question for Bernadette, Margaret, or Manuel, but what safeguards do we have in the processes of the collection of these fees? When we were the collection agency, we knew what was coming in and what was going back to THF for those uses. What safeguards are in the process or in the agreement that gives us an accounting that we can be relied upon to know what those funds are that are coming in?
Okay. THF Realty, who is closely involved with the Prairie Center Metropolitan District, has agreed to provide me monthly reports of the revenues that are coming in to the Prairie Center. And I also receive on a monthly basis the bank statements for the bond trustees so that I can review those and compare to see what's coming in and what's going out of those accounts.
So do you think we need an audit of those, or how? I mean, So if you're just seeing what they're sending to us, mm-hmm. I mean, how do we know what they're collecting?
I basically would have to compare it to last year when we were the collection agent. There are quite comprehensive spreadsheets that are put together and passed around between, say, the city, the accountants, and various entities, so that we have a full knowledge of all the fees and charges that are collected from the Prairie Center area. And that would probably be about the only way that I would be able to monitor the revenues. Plus, the city does receive sales tax from Prairie Center, a certain percentage, 2.5%. And the credit PIF amount is 1.25%, so I can do comparisons there and see if they're in line.
Okay, well, I hope we do those comparisons. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't trust them, but we should just do that to make sure.
Well, it's just good business. Monitor that.
Bernadette, do bond payments, are bond payments made also?
Yes, the credit PIF and the add-on PIF monies go to the bond trustee, and then they are responsible for making the semi-annual debt payments. And these are on the primary bonds that were issued at the beginning to construct the infrastructure.
So if the bond payments weren't made, we'd be aware of that, too, because they'd notify us?
Probably, yes.
So it'd be another safeguard. Councilman Edwards?
I just have a question. Would these accounts be audited by an independent CPA for THF?
Yes.
And then we would be provided with those reports?
We aren't provided with the reports, but there is a way to access those at the state auditor's office.
Okay. So there's third-party auditing?
Oh, yes. Separate audit firm, separate independent accounting audit firm, just like we have for the city.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Maslany.
Bernadette, if you went over this, I apologize, and if it's something that we've discussed previous, I apologize, but what brought this about? Was this part of the original agreement that there'd be the February 1, 2013? Was that a previous agreed on cutoff date, or what was
no, what brought this about? The Prairie Center Credit PIF Collection Services Agreement under Section 5.5 allows Prairie Center Metro District 3 to remove the city as the collection agent with a 45-day notice. And they took it upon themselves to submit that notice to us the middle of December 2012. And so the 45-day period expired February 1st, 2013.
Okay, so they have no, there's no reason that popped up to make this happen.
No, they don't have to submit cause for that.
Okay.
Thank you, Councilman.
Excuse me, Mayor. It might be helpful if the city attorney can give a little history on how this came about and where we are today, so, especially for the new council members.
When the agreements were first negotiated with Prairie Center back in the early 2000s, and the PIF credit was put into place, then this agreement was negotiated at that time, and Prairie Center requested at that time that the system that they're proposing now be the system that's used. And the city management and I think the rest of the staff at that time indicated that we thought it was in the city's best interest to make sure that we could see what the process was and evaluate, and as Mayor Pro Tem indicated, check the figures and make sure everything was being done appropriately. So I think it was anticipated at that time that eventually this request would happen. So it's not a surprise, but it did give us 5 or 6 years to look and make sure that the process worked the way it was supposed to in the agreement. And there's also, we want to be very sure, and that's what another reason that this provision is put in, that it never looks like these credit PIF revenues are revenues to the city for TABOR purposes, so we wanted to make sure that it just was a pass-through, went automatically to the trustee. And so the farther you can get away from it ever going through the city's hands, the better it is. So that's some of what happened.
Thank you, Margaret. Makes it pretty clear. What is the pleasure of council on 8D? Councilman Edwards?
I'd like to make the motion that we approve Resolution 8B as read.
Thank you. Councilwoman Rose?
I second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Roll call vote. Motion passes 9-0.
Thank you.
Council. Thank you, Bernadette. 8C is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Brighton, Colorado, accepting the proposal of Martin Martin. I'm not stuttering. It is Martin Martin Incorporated, and awarding the contract for the design. Something jumped up on my screen. And awarding the design for interim roadway at Tower Road and Southern Street, which is RFP number 12-057, in an amount not to exceed $63,360, and authorizing the mayor to sign the contract on behalf of the city. Mr. Escobel.
Yes. Joe Smith, our streets and police director, will be presenting this.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, City Council. A few things here on the staff report I'll read, and then I'll fill in some details on those. We're requesting City Council approval for the design of the interim roadway at Tower Road and Southern Street to affirm having requisite expertise and experience to perform the required services, and approving the resolution giving the mayor authority to sign the contract. In terms of background, the city solicited written sealed proposals from qualified firms to design a set of construction plans for an interim roadway for Southern Street and Tower Road. This project will include a temporary minimum 24-foot roadway surface that, without major modifications, will be expandable to a build-out section of the Pheasant Ridge development plans generated for the city. The interim roadway design will include plan and profile drawings, street sections, signage, striping plans, and any necessary storm sewer or drainage work. And the reason we're doing it this way, basically in two steps, we need to have an overall plan, about a 30% plan is what we're calling it. That sets plan and profile for all of the roadways. And this is 2 miles of road. It runs from Bridge Street to Bromley on Tower Road, and then the cross is southern from Telluride to 45th, and there are completed sections at the end of both, on both ends of southern. That overall plan, again, sets the profile so that we'll know where to build any piece of that as we're putting it together. We're not building out the whole roadway, we're just trying to make connections. We have some funds available from transportation impact fees and from Adams County sales tax that's available to complete what we believe to be a very important connection in the city. That's a missing part of the grid, and it's caused traffic problems at 50th, really Bridge Street and Bromley. And with the completion of this, it basically connects all the schools along Southern. If you picture all the schools as you run down Southern, right now, they don't have a connection. They have to go to Bridge or Bromley to get back to where they're going. A lot of residential out east, a lot of traffic trying to cross back and forth across Bromley and Bridge to get out there. So this is a very important connection. This interim design is a 100% design for an interim roadway, and we believe it will be about a 24-foot wide ribbon of asphalt, we would call it, that connects all of these points. But it has all the signage, drainage, though it may not be curb and gutter, but at least to get traffic from one place to another. Eventually, these two roadways, Tower would be four-lane roadway, Southern would be a collector, and that's a three-lane roadway. Okay, that's the basics of the project. I can answer more questions on that later if you have those. Continuing, from these formal proposals, we had 17 firms that attended the mandatory pre-proposal conference. Got a lot of questions on there, and then responded some written, some verbal responses to those. We had 10 firms submit proposals. The criteria used for evaluation and the final recommendation of the interviewed firms, or not the interviewed, the proposing firms included review of the submitted proposal, responsiveness to the needs of the city, both in time and to complete the scope of services offered. And these are included in the request for proposal when we send that out. They understand what we're asking for when we send them out. Previous governmental experience with projects of similar size, scope, and nature, and the degree to which the proposal meets or exceeds the terms of the request for proposal. The evaluation team was made up of Annette Marquez, Kimberly Dahl, Jennifer Bergman out of the procurement office, and myself. In completing the evaluation of the submitted proposals, the firm of Martin & Martin Incorporated was selected by the project team, and that was unanimously, as the firm meeting the evaluation criteria set forth above. The financial impact. Now, I've got a little bit of change here that I need to discuss on financial impact. Bernadette just presented the rebudgets, and there was funding that she mentioned that I would talk about, the $91,161 that was in professional services in 2012. That's where we had intended to take the design for the Southern Street and the tower connection from. In that gap between the end of December, 1st of January, and the time that those rebudgets are approved, basically there's no funding. We were looking at, if it didn't get approved, we would draw that from the $1.4 million for that project. Going back to 2012, again, we were looking at paying it out of professional services. Since that money has been rebudgeted just now, in 2013, we'd like to take the design out of that professional services budget so that we have as much left to build as much of that roadway as we can, because that's our key right now. We're trying to get as much of it built out as we possibly can. So the, especially the resolution, I've got some alternate language here that instead of $1.4 million, it would be $91,000. And I can read that off. Margaret, is this a good time to do that?
Sure.
And it's the fourth whereas. Funding was approved in the 2013 fleet budget, and I'm reading what I am proposing to put in there, for the professional services in the amount of $91,161, and that is the amount that was from the Bernadette's just recent action here. So basically, instead of taking it out of the 1.4, it takes it out of the professional services budget. And I think that's the only change that needs to be done on the resolution. In completing the review and evaluation of this proposal, the recommendation is to award to the firm having the requisite expertise and experience to perform the required services of Martin & Martin Incorporated in the amount of $63,360 for design of interim roadway at Tower Road and Southern Street. Martin & Martin Incorporated is in good standing with the state of Colorado. I would take any questions that you have on this action.
Questions? Councilwoman Rose.
So this is just interim, so that means it's not a completed road, and that'll be completed at what date then, or do we have a timeline on finishing that up?
A couple of things. One, we'll have a basic design that we can offer to any of the developers out there that when they come in, we expect them to build a portion of the roadway. Typically, it's outside lane and curb gutter, sidewalk, those things. Now we will have a plan in hand that we can take to them and say, here, finish this design. This is where we want the plan and profile to be of this roadway. The interim part of it is just to make sure that we have a connection. Since the development hasn't been going very fast right now, you know, originally we would expect, okay, everything's going to develop. We're going to get houses built all out through there. They're going to build this roadway as soon as they get there. Since that's slowed down, that hasn't happened. Pheasant Ridge, their building of the road is associated with the 8th and 9th phases of Pheasant Ridge. That stalled out basically at 7. And so those two roadways are setting there. And we do have some provisions that we're working on to have them reimburse the city for the portions of the roadway we would be building there. And they would then finish that, what we've got, the 30% design, finish those portions, curb gutter, sidewalk, those things. But again, for us, it's important that we make those traffic connections between there. And so that's what the interim's for. And so we're taking a certain amount of money. We believe $1.4 million is about what it takes to build those two sections of roadway. That way we can at least get the traffic through there. Then as development comes in, they'll finish that roadway based on that 30% set of plans that we're also getting out of this. So final on the interim, 30% plan on the build-out.
So we won't have a clear date on when that'll ever get completed?
No. It's quite a bit more expense. It's not just double expense. It's probably about 3.5 times the expense to complete the entire roadway. But instead of waiting for them to do the entire roadway, at least we've got the connection now. If at a later date council's interested in us taking that a step further, we're getting, you know, traffic impact fees, Adams County sales tax, those kind of things. If you would like for us to move forward with widening or putting a curb gutter and sidewalk or sidewalk in some parts of that, we can look at that whenever you're interested in doing it. But just for now, it seemed like the best use of the money just to make sure that we had the traffic connection.
Okay, then a couple of questions. So it does allow for storm drainage and that along the sides?
Yes.
And is there a walk path along that? Because, I mean, those are used by students going from schools to schools. So is there an area, a safe area for children to walk on?
We are working and with Gary a little bit. Gary's been looking for some grant funds so that we can put at least an east-west sidewalk on there. North-south, there's one piece completed there, and if you look to the south to Bromley Lane, there's really not a pedestrian draw from that part of Bromley Lane. So the east-west, and that's that route connecting all the schools, east-west does need one probably. There is one right now on the south side of Pheasant Ridge, across the south side of Pheasant Ridge. So the only gap is the piece that runs from southern to 45th. That's a half-mile gap. So that's the one that we'll look at first. So if I can build the roadways for 1.2 or 1.25 or something like that, the next thing on the list is to get a walkway in there. If Gary can find some grant funds, we'll put that in with this and include a walkway where we can. Like I said, critical one along southern from Tower to 45th.
And that'll be a three-lane highway street at this point going southern?
Build out.
But right now it's just two-lane.
Just two-lane, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, well, no, that's good. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Mayor Pro Tem.
Well, Joe, I agree with Councilwoman Rose. We walked that.
Right.
A lot of us went up and walked the kids into the school this year. Right. It's a pretty unsafe area there, so I hope we can get that done.
Mm-hmm.
It's as important to me as the roadway.
Right.
Once we put the roadway in, it may make it worse because it will give kids that opportunity to walk even more along the road there. So
understood.
So the other question I have, now, not that I'm ever against not taking the lowest bidder.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm about quality, too.
Right.
I did notice that there's about a 20% increase
right.
From the lowest bid to this one.
Right.
So can you explain why?
One of the things is we have a little bit of a stumble trying to get over this. There's not a bid in here. It's a request for proposal. So if you look at the difference between what bid and RFPs are, I think is the easiest way to start there. Bids, we have a bid tab, which has every item that they're proposing, that they're going to build for us, that they're going to supply to us, whatever it happens to be. and we have a quantity with each one of those, so it's very clear. It's the same across the industry. All the construction people know what it is. They plug a number in there that they think they can do it for. It's a very firm bid. It's very well defined. When we move to an RFP, what we're asking for is a request for proposal, not a bid, that they would give us what they see the project as being. Where we typically do this with professional services because we don't have the expertise somebody else does. So we can write the goal, basically, is what we're looking for with an RFP. We want somebody to propose on us doing this larger picture out in front of us. We don't give them a bid tab. We do give them what we believe are criteria for how they should put that proposal together. But they use their expertise to give us a scope, basically. I mean, we've defined somewhat of a scope, but they give us a scope of what it takes to get that project done. Well, along with what they're doing in their proposal, they also present us with what their expertise is, you know, what they've done before. Was it like this? Wasn't it like this? They explain to us in their proposals how what they're going to do meets our goals. Okay, that's the kind of big picture of all of it. In going through these proposals, and there were four of us, and like I say, it was unanimous, we basically went through five, only really focused on the four. We basically start at the bottom and work up. So the cost. Does this meet everything we need? Do we leave it in the pile? Do we keep looking at it? Move to the next one, move to the next one. And we tend to go through several just to make sure that we're getting a good picture of what all of these experts out there say should be in this project. So as we're going through evaluating, we're learning. So that first one usually looks good because we haven't thought of all of the pieces that somebody else is going to put in there. By the time we move to the next one, we've learned a little more, the next one a little more, and so on and so on. When we got through all of these, with some specifics, like the low bidder, their expertise didn't include any project like this. They've got general engineering expertise, a fair amount of drainage work that they've done, but nothing specific to this. Next to the lowest, a little bit of that same thing, but they excluded some items, excluded public meetings, and they said that they would negotiate scope and price after they got the contract. And so that leaves a big gap open as far as we're concerned. The third one was just generally quality of the proposal was not up to what we would expect. I wouldn't want to see the report that came out after that proposal, that type of thing. They left a lot of gaps in it. And then that brings us Martin and Martin's. They covered everything that we wanted in the request for proposal. And they've done what's particularly important, a job that's almost exactly like this one here in town, and that's the widening of Bridge Street. Out of that, we got a 30% final design plus an interim design that would function until we could expand to that final design. They had other experience here in town, too. So they had not only here in town, but a broad base of experience in building similar type projects. They also seemed to understand the drainage a little bit better. There was also that associated with the Bridge Street project, where we had all the drainage that went to the pond that's there south of the fire department, and they did a design for modifying the outlet structure for that so it would function. We did look at Peak Civil. That was the next one up. Proposal-wise, they were really pretty good. They weren't really too far off or far behind Martin and Martin. I think they were about 3,000 behind, not very much. And we didn't really see enough gain on that one to go to the fifth one. And so we stopped at Martin and Martin. And again, mostly because of the experience that they've got in the city, and we've been very happy with it. And they've always come under budget anyway. You know, every project they've done so far, they've left a little bit in the kitty when they walked away. I think everybody in that group, again, it's Annette, Kim, myself, and Jennifer doesn't look so much at technical. She looks at process to make sure that we're following procurement process when we're going through this. But the three technical reviewers, we all felt comfortable saying that the city was getting the best value for what they were spending out of the Martin Martin proposal instead of the others. It's always been kind of that way for me, too. I still look at proposals a little bit like bids, and there is a difference. I think Margaret could probably tell us that, too. And Sharon's here. You need any more input from the procurement side of it?
You know, Joe, sometimes when you're going to have a situation like this where you're picking the fourth from the bottom, you should probably put a little dissertation in your thing, and you may save yourself a little grief in front of council, because it there's eagle eyes up here,
and that's a good thing.
And they're going to pick you apart if they see something like that. So
we have discussed that, and Sharon, I think, would say that in the future, we've even got a new evaluation form for RFPs that came out of this to make sure that the next one that we put together, it'll probably end up in the packet, that form will include all of the evaluation criteria. We're trying to get back to numerics. Procedure-wise, it's better if we can do numerics instead of all just comments, but we're going to change the process, and so I take that very seriously, and I understand it.
And we're not picking on you and your team.
Nope.
But just a little friendly advice. Councilman Maslanek. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem.
Without going into a lot of detail, I think the choice of Martin and Martin from a lot of different levels is a wise one. Number two, just so everybody understands, and Joe, I would really like this reaffirmation from you. This is a 24-foot wide road section. There's no parking along these roads, so there will be 12 feet of legal lane access on either side. Is that correct?
There will end up being a slight striped shoulder and then a dirt shoulder.
Okay, so we still will meet our legal requirements for a road width.
Right.
Number two, on to back up Councilman Rose and Mayor Pro Tem. Even if we have to connect our sidewalks with an asphalt sidewalk like we did out at Prairie View, thank you.
Yes.
I'm going to say very firmly we need to find that money somewhere and make that happen with this, because I can guarantee you the residents of Ward 1 will not. They'll thank us for the road and they'll forget about it as soon as there's no sidewalk connection. So we need to make that happen.
I hear you clearly.
Thanks.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other comments or questions? What's the pleasure of Council on 8C? Councilwoman?
Well, I liked her explanation. I thought it was very well, because I'm like Wayne and I always go for the cheapest bid. And the fact that Sharon's here to back you up, I trust you completely. But I do feel like the rest of council that spoken, that if Gary could find the funds to do a sidewalk, that would be awesome. I think it's great that we're getting that road put in over there. So that's a huge accomplishment for us. So I would like to make a motion to approve the resolution as read, with the addition that you did, Joe, with the fourth whereas. And I don't know if I need to repeat anything. I hope not, but.
City clerk has it, the language?
Okay, great. So thank you, Joe.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. We have a motion. Is there a second? Councilman Maslanek. We have a motion from Councilmember Martinez and a second from Councilmember Maslanek. Any further discussion or questions? Roll call vote. Motion passes 9-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon, for being here. Next item is 8D, 2013 supplemental budget appropriation in the amount of $84,700 for the reimbursement of expenses incurred by the Bromley Park Metropolitan District Number 4 for the construction of park improvements in the Brighton Crossing subdivision, and authorizing the city to remit said fees to the Bromley Park Metropolitan District Number 4. Mr. Escobel?
Yes, Gary Wardle, our Park and Rec Director, will handle this matter.
Good evening, Mayor and members of City Council. Before you tonight is a supplemental budget appropriation and an authorization to pay the Bromley Park Metro District Number 4 for park development that has occurred in the Brighton Crossing subdivision. Annually, the city collects fees from all of the housing starts. They collect the park development fees. We save those through the year, and then we make a payment to the Metro District per our agreement once every year. So these are fees, the $84,700 are fees that were collected all through the 2012 year, and we are now reimbursing them. We do this annually. We've been before you with the same thing. These are parks that have been constructed. There are no new parks out there right now. They've been constructed for many years. We're just reimbursing them for the cost of those park constructions that occurred when the subdivision was originally developed and the parks were originally developed. With that, I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Gary. Any questions? It's simple, straightforward. Done this many times. Councilman Bell?
I'd be delighted to move the acceptance of resolution 8D.
Thank you. We have a motion. Councilman Waller?
I'd like to second that.
We have a second. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Motion passes 9-0. Thank you. Next item on our agenda is 8E. And I'll read 1 and 2, and then we'll vote on them separately. 8E is a purchase of Fulton Ditch shares. 1, a 2013 supplemental budget appropriation in the amount of $30,000 in the Park and Recreation Capital Improvement Fund for the acquisition of irrigation water. Item 8E2 is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Brighton, Colorado, authorizing the purchase of 2 Fulton Ditch shares from Kathleen M. Ward, who's the seller, for the total not to exceed sum of $30,000, and authorizing the mayor to execute the purchase and sale agreement on behalf of the city. Mr. Escobel.
Thank you, Mayor and members of City Council. Excuse me. Again, tonight there are two resolutions for you to appropriate funds in the amount of $30,000. It's in the Recreation Capital Open Space Fund, and those dollars will be used to purchase Fulton Ditch shares. The water, there are 2 shares of water that we will be purchasing. The utility department has evaluated these shares, and there is not adequate use history to allow for these to be converted to potable water. So I will be purchasing them to use as non-potable water. We do need additional water at Ken Mitchell to be able to convert the Ken Mitchell Park into a irrigation with Fulton Ditch. And as we look at developing Ken Mitchell, there'll be expanded area down there that we'll need to irrigate. So that's primarily the use of these in the future. We may be able to use them immediately if the yield of each share this year, because of the drought, isn't adequate. This gives us a couple more shares to give us more water to be able to meet our needs in the parks. And if we do meet the needs, then they would be available to lease to the farmers if they have some needs also. So they'll have many uses, and we'll put them to the best use we can this year. So with that, I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Gary. Questions? Pretty straightforward. Kirby.
Hey, Gary. Does that equate to the yield on that? Is that typically 1 acre foot?
I think, and Jim can probably help me, past history, we were probably closer to 3 acre feet per share. And this year, I don't think they've actually determined a yield this year, have they, Jim?
The yield was about 3.4, but in a drought situation, of course, that decreases with the availability of water in the river. So It is a little higher yield than our decreed water under change cases.
3 acre feet is, that's close to 1 million gallons.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
That along with all the snow we're getting, we should keep getting more and more and more. Have a good year, hopefully. Any other questions? Did you have your hand up for another reason? You were going to make a motion? Oh, please do. That's you, Kirby.
I'd be happy to make a motion to get some more water.
Okay. We have a motion? Is there a second? Councilman Baca.
I'll second the motion.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Motion passes 9-0.
That was for E1, right?
I guess. Yes. Yeah.
For the supplement.
That's E1. E2. Playing bingo now. Councilwoman Martinez.
I would make a motion to approve the resolution as previously read.
We have a motion to approve E8E2.
Yep.
So Councilman Maslanek had his up first, so go on order. Second from Councilman Maslanek. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. That would conclude our regular business. No utility business, no general business, no executive session. Yay.
We're going to get done so early we can all drive up and watch that Fort Collins City Council work at 2 o'clock.
That's okay. Reports from the mayor. Last week we got to attend the 9th annual Metro Denver's Economic Development meeting. It was pretty interesting. Governor Hickenlooper spoke and some of the board. Tom Clark did a really good presentation, and so did Kelly Bruff, the chamber exec. So, things are bright in Denver. I serve on a Adams County drug court in Adams. That something started about a year ago, and it's been very interesting. They've increased that thing from 2 people now. They've got about 20 people in the program, and they monitor them really closely. I'll get more details. But it's a problem-solving court. There's a group of advocates and advisors from the Chief Justice to a couple of medical people, people from the DA's office, from the other legal entities in the county. It's been implemented, and this is an adult drug court. It's committed to an integrated and collaborative effort of treatment, accountability, and rehabilitation of drug-dependent offenders. The program is committed to ensuring community safety and creating healthy individuals while reducing costs and recidivism. I've said they have really strict guidelines, and those that don't adhere can go to jail real quick. So, very interesting. A number of us on council and some other members of council will probably allude to it, but Read Across America took place last Friday, and we read Dr. Seuss, really difficult books. At 9 o'clock in the morning at Pennock Elementary. And it's a lot of fun engaging the kids and reading with them. They like to be involved in the reading and not just have somebody read to them. So that's we had a lot of fun doing that. That's all. Oh, I do have front of me. It was left here. Okay. I think that's all I have. Department heads? Oh, here we go. One, two, three. We're all lined up.
We're all here today. Mayor and Mayors of the City Council, I'm here tonight to bring to your attention that the 2013 Help for Homes program has been advertised. Applications are due back by March 27th of this year. Applications were mailed out in the Eagle View Adult Center newsletter this month, and we do have additional applications. It'll be here at City Hall if any of the residents would like to pick one up. They're also available at the Eagle View Adult Center. The Help for Homes weekend will be May 4th this year, and we still do need volunteers to come and help repair the homes, team leaders and teams. So if anybody out in the viewing audience would be interested in helping to renovate and repair senior homes here in Brighton, please call Sue Corbett at the Eagle View Adult Center. Criteria for homes to be selected, they must be seniors 60 years and older. They must own their homes, and they must have a combined income of less than $40,400. So that's the criteria for being eligible to participate in the Help for Homes. So we encourage anybody that's interested. We just do this once a year. So this is your opportunity to get some homes repaired in Brighton, and it's a great program, and we've got a lot of good teams out there that help us every year. So with that, I can answer any questions. If the council would like some applications, I have them with me, or I'll leave them out there or give them to Manuel, and they'll be up in the city manager's office.
Council used to have a team, but we have it for a number of years. So. Councilman Maslanek.
Gary, may I have an application? I apologize. I thought this was to sign up. I was like, I got a long way to go to 60. I'll tell you what, I'll pass one on. I've got a neighbor that could use it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Mr. Landeck.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. I'm pleased to share with you this evening, and I've asked the clerk to pass it along to you, a copy of the current edition of the Colorado Public Works Journal, where the city of Brighton is featured. In an article discussing our South Outfall project and our collaborative cooperation efforts with local farmers on dealing with tailwater and storm drainage. It's a very positive article. I think you'll be very pleased with it. Also mentioned to the editor, you know, some of the issues that, you know, the city faces. Got into a little discussion of augmentation water and potable and non-potable supplies. Unfortunately, there was space limitations, so I've asked him to provide a little detail maybe in the next issue on the proper pronunciation of potable for certain residents who may have come from the Midwest that may need some assistance. So with
how do you
that,
pronounce pot, P-O-T?
You're talking about the weed?
Weed. You pronounce it weed, probably. You dance very well.
But anyway, I think you'll enjoy the article. I think it reflects very well on the community. Thank you.
Just they didn't put your picture in. Thank you, Jim. Number three?
No, number one. back again. I've got a, if Margaret would put that up on, short update on the Highway 7 PEL. You've heard the term PEL a couple of times, planning and environmental linkage. What it is a study that is a precursor to some of the federal processes, NEPA especially, that looks at a corridor in this case. There's one going on Highway 85, but this one's on Highway 7, it's further along. And what they look at is what might the roadway be in the future, you know, that planning part of it. Where is this going to be? What do we want to look at right now to make sure that sometime in the future we've got the type of roadway we need to have there? Plus, as I said, it is a precursor to NEPA. NEPA is the whole process that you have to go through for clearance for federal projects. And this is not a complete process in the, by any means, but it does set the groundwork for that. So they look at a lot of different things. And I've got some copies of this that I'll hand out as soon as I get through here. One thing that they looked at, especially on our end, and so of this whole study, you know, we're from Miller Street in mostly. Actually, Yosemite is our growth boundary. But one of the things they looked at, we asked them to look at, is the impact on a high-volume traffic downtown. We've heard that talked about for years. It's so hard to get across Bridge Street. What can we do maybe to split off the traffic, to get the traffic that is just passing through town anyway, get them off of Bridge Street, let people need to come downtown, get downtown comfortably. And so that was one of the big things that they looked at. It's probably easier if I go to the drawing right now. I don't have a pointer, but if you look at the very east end on that word draft, that's right on top of the roundabouts. The floodplain is in there. Floodway and floodplain are both in there. The dark blue is the floodway. The lighter blue is the floodplain. You see where Tucson Street is. Thank you, Margaret. There's a band in there that they're looking at. Maybe in the future sometime that Highway 7 could be expanded to there. Thank you. Whoa, that's a good one. Okay, there's a band in here that potentially, instead of Highway 7 still coming to the roundabouts, and as you know, we adopted Highway 7 from the roundabouts east, and so that's ours now. But the state designation of the highway, of possibly moving that on some corridor in there, no exact location, but possibly taking it up to Baseline Road where there's a little bit more room for it to expand in the future. This is not something that would be 5 years down the road, or probably 10 years down the road, but maybe 15 or somewhere down there. But at least to look at that possibility. It would also still keep a connection to what now will be Bridge Street, because the piece across the floodplain will no longer be Highway 7. That would come back to us again. Adams County, if we don't want it right away, to us whenever we choose to annex it. But that would give us a city route that anybody that wanted to could still get where they wanted to into town, so we could still keep the commerce piece going, but that some of that traffic might be unloaded onto another alternative. They real quickly looked at the southern route, doesn't show on here, where they would possibly relocate something to Bromley and run the traffic on Bromley. But it's pretty hard to get through there. We've got residences. There's just so much in the way, even in terms of existing gravel pits or water storage. Just too many things really to go south. And they took a real quick look at this Havana Street potential for realignment, and probably that won't be in the final document, because it's just not a good alignment. I'll back up one. Or go the other way one. They did an analysis on the traffic volumes there, and they'll show this again tomorrow night. There's a public meeting at the Armory from 4:30 to 7 o'clock where anybody can come and look at the whole corridor. So it's for everybody there. And some of the things to note on here, the gold is gold is current State Highway 7 alignment traffic. And then if they moved it, the realignment, that would be in blue. And these are numbers, the counts. Okay, so right there's our realignment. They figure about 10,000, a little less than 10,000 cars would use that realignment. But it's kind of interesting to see that downtown, or a little past downtown, I'm going to get there yet, there. There's only about 1,000 difference. There's most of this difference, of course, on the piece from Tucson to 85. That's everything that would be going north. But right here, very downtown, there's 1,200
cars different. So it's not as much difference as you would think it would be. But it does relieve it somewhat. There's still a good draw, basically, in this from 27th West. There's a lot of commercial areas in there. And so you still get a pretty good draw through there. So it hasn't been a huge impact. But it's just one of those things I wanted to give you a heads up to make sure everybody wasn't surprised when they saw that they were looking at another alignment. Probably in our time of dealing with it, that wouldn't be the case. But it is something that might happen out there in the future that might benefit everybody. And there's been three other meetings, technical group, one that Councilwoman Baca went to, that talked about this a little bit, where they laid it out and showed what was going on in each end. I don't have so much of a graphic on it on this one, but here, I'm going to get it right yet. If you look at Miller Street, they do look at the potential of having an intersection there at Miller Street, and our transportation master plan is basically where that came from. The Highway 85 access plan also shows one in there. So it actually shows a access going north. We didn't show anything. We asked them not to show anything except a curb cut because we don't really know exactly how that piece would look. But possibly, maybe someday if the wastewater plant goes away and that area redevelops, maybe that would be a very good connection to have, whether it's commercial or whatever designation that ends up having in the future. Do you have any questions on it? I think that's the basics of what I was trying to get across.
Saving for tomorrow night. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a question about that. Has it been moved to Wednesday night or is it Thursday night?
Wednesday night.
It is Wednesday.
Yes. The one here is Wednesday night. There's one Thursday night in Lafayette. They're back to back.
So that's going to interfere with our meet and greet? No, that doesn't start until 6:30.
Right. There is a. We did actually look at that. There's a gap between 4:30 and whatever, 6 or 6:30. Yeah. And it won't be like, if it was like the last one, it won't be that there's, 200 people in there trying to elbow around to get there. They'll probably have five or six people that can answer questions there. They'll have the graphics lined up around the edge of the room so that you can go and look at whatever you want to see. You can ask questions of whatever person there. They'll come up and ask you if you have questions when you walk up to it. But it's a pretty open format.
So anybody that can make it, wants to make it? Councilwoman Baca, you attend.
I did attend, and I would encourage the public as well as the press and staff and council to go to the open house for this project. It's Felsberg Holton Ulevig is the consultant that has been working with all of the cities along the Highway 7 corridor. They do an outstanding job on their presentation and their graphics. I just did have one question for Joe. Did they say that the bridge over the Platte River, is that able to expand to a four lane here in town? Okay. So some of the things they were considering, they'll go through all of this probably likelihood tomorrow night, is making in the future, and how far into the future, I'm not sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, making that a four-laner, potentially Highway 7, but different median, each city, because it has a different feel in Lafayette. It's down the middle of the city, just like it is in Brighton. But then there are also rural parts, for example, between Todd Creek and Brighton. It's still fairly rural or large lot homes. So what do we want the medians to look like? They are planning curb and sidewalk along there. They did plan for bike trail lanes along Highway 7, which I thought was outstanding. If you have an opportunity to go, I know we have another meeting tomorrow night at 6:30, but I think it would be worth their time and effort to make it.
Thanks, Councilwoman.
To answer the question, the Platte River Bridge, a few years ago, CDOT built that or rebuilt that. The way it's designed is the bridge that's there now If you normally see the crown and the road, it's in the middle of the road. That's not the case on that bridge. The bridge is built with the two south lanes of a future four-lane bridge and one of the north lanes, so the westbound. It's not striped that way, but that's the way it's built. It was designed so that at some time in the future, if it ever expanded to a four-lane bridge, that you could add on to the north side and it would be symmetrical. And so it could be done with the traffic that you would take off of this. You probably wouldn't need to do it for an extremely long time because it has pretty good shoulders on it right now, and the two lanes, I think, would function for quite a while. The shoulders we really can't use as lanes. They're not quite enough there, and we're not, when they built it, the federal money that they had for it, we couldn't change the function of the bridge, so they couldn't call them bike lanes or pedestrian access, whatever it is, but they do have nice wide shoulders now. And if you were ever across that old bridge when a bicyclist was trying to make it across there, that was a scary time. And right now it's opened it up. It makes it so much nicer.
You think it was scary for you, you should have been on the bicycle.
Bike.
Oh, yeah. But they, as Councilwoman Baca said, the cross sections that they're looking at really do take a lot into account, from transit to pedestrians to bikes, and that problem of trying to go from community to community as they go across there, of trying to take that into account as they go across there also.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
We have some clarification because the council received that this meeting was scheduled at the Armory for Thursday night. So.
For Thursday night?
Yeah, so we need to clarify that.
I'll make sure that I do clarify it and get it back to you so that you can get it out. It'll be first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I'll let Kristen know right away.
Okay.
Clarify the place. I thought it was anything.
No, it's at the Armory.
Oh, okay.
But it says Thursday?
This Thursday. What's sent out to the council was Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll look.
Thank you. Media, do you know if it's tomorrow night?
March 6th, Wednesday?
It is March 6th, and Wednesday at 4:30 at the Armory. Sorry. So the time your calendar is wrong. Apologize.
Good evening, folks. Thank you for allowing me about 60 seconds or less of your time to bring to your attention the flyer that is sitting at your areas. The Brighton EDC will be hosting, facilitating a panel discussion on March the 19th at 7 o'clock in the morning, bright and early. We'll have panel representatives from many of the energy companies that are in the area. As most of you know, the city of Brighton, in conjunction with our friends to the north, have a corridor up to the north, of which Vestas is the principal anchor. That's about 3,000 acres or so. That is an employment opportunity corridor, but it's also an energy corridor. The companies that you see listed on here, Anadarko, Halliburton, Vestas, United Power, will all be doing a presentation as part of the panel. These companies have invested millions of dollars into that corridor, brought a lot of jobs into the area, and we're taking a look at the economic impact of what really is the positive economic impact when you put that kind of investment, when you bring those kinds of jobs into the area. We would love to have you come out and be part of that presentation. We're opening it up to the businesses in the community and inviting all of them. Everyone that attends needs to RSVP so that we can get the breakfast right for folks in terms of just total numbers. But folks can come out as our guests and enjoy this panel presentation on the 19th. If you have questions, I'd be happy to entertain those. Otherwise, I will sit back down because I think 60 seconds right there.
Yeah. I'm just noticing on the agenda, it's 7 to 7:30 is a networking and breakfast, but then 7:30 to 8 is a board meeting. Is that open? We could sit in on that and listen.
Actually, the board meeting, we'll pull it off to the side for just our board members, and we'll take care of the business that we have to do with the board. The rest of the event will be going on. So it's at the Armory. Our board meeting will be just right upstairs real quick.
Okay, thank you.
But there'll be plenty to do during that period of time, a lot of interaction, that sort of a thing, and as a, you know, just a very short board meeting for just our board members at that point. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. other department heads? City manager? City attorney? Ha ha. Threw you off, didn't I?
I just have a reminder of the meet and greet tomorrow with Fort Lupton at Pinocchio's, 6:30. So you'll have enough time to go to the 4:30 meeting, hopefully. The other item I want to share with you is that some of you have already seen the, they're starting to put together the Sugar Beet baseball exhibit at the Armory. And it's an interesting exhibit, and if you haven't had the opportunity, I would ask you all to take a look at it. What I'm handing out to you is just a little story about that exhibit and who actually is putting it together. But it's an interesting history of the Sugar Beet Baseball League that took place in this whole area here, and talks a little bit about the people who are putting on the exhibit, as well as who they are talking about. The interesting part about this exhibit, it is an exhibit that is seen its last time here in Colorado, and it's now then going to be sent to Coopertown, where the Baseball Hall of Fame is, and it'll be permanently displayed at Coopertown. So it's kind of a neat regional display, and I think you enjoy it. There's also a book that was written by the a very lengthy book. Well, I'll pass it around if you want to look at it. About the exhibit and about the teams that they're talking about. So it's a very, very cool exhibit. So if you have, get a chance, you may want to look at it.
Thank you, Mr. Espo. Boards and commissions. We'll start with Lynn.
Tomorrow's Parks and Rec Advisory Board Committee or Advisory Board meeting at the Rec Center. Correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, there's going to be two public hearings. One public hearing for the playground at North Elementary. The second public hearing will be naming of a bike, the bike motocross that we built.
The BMX.
The BMX. Thank you very much.
Lynn, that's just to schedule a public meeting.
The public meeting for the
naming will be the next month.
Okay, I apologize. Schedule a public meeting. I read that incorrectly. So. Okay. I also talked to the mayor real briefly about NADA. That's the Northern Area Transportation Authority. I was really pleased to see the progress that that group has made. A lot of their focus, given the cities, understandably so, a lot of the focus has been on the rail and the Northern Line. It was Commissioner Eric Hansen that brought up that a strategic plan needs to be put in place for NADA to address all of the cities involved in that group, to address everyone's transportation needs, not just the North Rail and I-25 corridor. So I thought that was very encouraging, so that group would be equitable for all cities that participate in it. They did ask for a representative from Brighton or Commerce City to represent the eastern portion of the NADA region, and I did talk to the mayor about that. So no one has been named to that. I didn't know if Dick wanted to name someone. I would be glad to serve on that, Mayor.
You just were named.
Okay. So.
No, it's good because you're tuned in to what's going on with the NADA, and I think that would be natural if you would.
Yeah, that was really encouraging because a lot of the discussion, like I said, has been monopolized by rail and the I-25 corridor. So it'll be nice for them to hear about our transportation projects. And all of the members did recognize that Brighton and Commerce City on our end and also on the western end of the NADA group also need to be included in the discussions.
Yeah, it's important that we're at the table talking, even though the majority of the transportation is going up I-25 and branching off I-25, though there is a station that is coming up to 72nd and Colorado Boulevard, I believe. So it's getting closer. I don't know our lifetimes we'll see it up here, but as we grow and as we
continue our talks with RTD and CDOT. We can only hope that Brighton will get on the map and we'll be there. So thank you for your service. Councilman Wallen?
The Brighton Youth Commission will again be holding the Speak Week event coming up the week of April 15th. Speak Week again stands for Suicide Prevention, Education, Awareness, and Knowledge. It was a very successful event last year, and it'll culminate with a walk on April 20th at 1 p.m. We believe that'll be happening at Brighton High School this year. I would encourage everyone to do what they can to support this event, either by attending the walk. You can purchase your tickets online through the BrightonYouthCommission.org website, and we're also looking for sponsors for that event. There are still sponsorship opportunities for individuals or businesses out there who would like to help us with this. We know that this is an event that is very near and dear to the youth in our community, and we know that it impacts them greatly, and they've been very thoughtful about the creation of this week-long event. So please do your best to support it. Again, you can find that information at BrightonYouthCommission.org, and we look forward to seeing everybody out there in April.
Thank you, Kirby. Councilwoman?
Yeah.
Mayor Pro Tem?
Well, I want to wish Councilwoman Baca good luck. I think they'll be glad to see me gone from that committee. So.
Yes, they will.
Anyway, we did do a couple meet and greets. The mayor has got us out there meeting everybody, I'd say. So we had one with Commerce City, we just did one with Lac Bouie, and you know we have Fort Lupton tomorrow. And got to attend the spaghetti luncheon for the Adult Rec Center, and I think that was a must have been a good turnout because I couldn't even get in the parking lot. You have to build more spaces out there, Gary. So.
Did meet with Weld County Commissioners, too.
Yeah, and I missed that one, but the Weld County Commissioners also had a meet and greet. And then the Urban Renewal Authority had its day-long retreat, and I think it was very successful, and looking forward to moving forward with their future projects. And then we met jointly with the school board, and they told us about their new security systems. I've got to experience it about three times now. It is very fast, and you give them your driver's license, and it goes through very fast. I'm a little concerned, and I've talked to them about citizens or parents that may not have a driver's license and how they would move through. But like I said, it moves very fast and seems to be very efficient. It just copies your license so that's your picture ID. And then the mayor, myself, and the city manager had a good conversation with our recently elected state congressman Dominic Marino, and I think that's a good relationship for us to build as we've worked with him on city council issues before, and we'll do as well in the future in working with him. And then just last, just wanted to talk about the Education Foundation, 27J Education Foundation that was today, and I'm sure Wilma will talk about it too. She was there. You know, it's a great project, and they've switched to all volunteers to actually have more money, got rid of their staff. I was a little disappointed because as we talk about 27J, and we call it 27J now instead of Brighton, and if you look at the student population, it's about 50% outside of Brighton now. And yet, once again, we saw Brighton there. We had a table there. We were a lot of Brighton businesses there. Brighton Chamber was there, and Economic Development, all the Brighton people. Didn't see anyone from Commerce City, didn't see anyone from Thornton. So I just want to remind them that 27J is their school district too, and it sure would be helpful if instead of just showing up at our joint meetings, they actually participated in some of the projects.
Councilman?
well, maybe I won't say too much about 27J lunch, but it was very nice. The Brighton Jazz Band participated, entertained us, and it's always a wonderful experience. They're very talented youth, and it always reminds us that we always need to be generous with our donations to the foundation, because that does go directly to youth who are going on to college or vocational schools, and also half of the money goes to the actual different schools, teachers, and different projects that they're doing in the schools. So any chance you have to donate some money towards that, it's a very good cause, and one way we can help our education system in educating our youth in our communities. I was also at our downtown partnership meeting last Thursday, and had an interesting conversation with one of the new owners of the bike shop, Pete, I believe is his name, and he mentioned that he has a pretty good relationship with the railroad, and he, I think, mentioned it to Dick about some possibilities that the railroad put out about working with the city on making the crossing more a safer crossing on Bridge and some of the other areas. And I would guess, Manuel, I asked him to please give you a call and relay that information as well. I know Dick probably did too, but just to double dip on it to make sure that we got the correct information. And he did seem to have. So Gary mentioned that maybe he could be our representative with the railroad. But anyway, it's always very interesting to talk to the young, all the business owners that are part of that group downtown. And also on Saturday, a committee of six from the Eye for Art committee hung all the wonderful art that you see out in the lobby now. 7 hours to do that, but we got it done. And it took all six of us to do it. And it was, it's always a good experience because we get to rearrange if it doesn't work out just right. But check it out, because we have some wonderful art in there again. And don't forget the displays in the case. There's some beautiful jewelry in there, as well as some gourd art that someone has submitted. So that will be out for the next 3 months. So please take some time, citizens from Brighton, stop in here and check it out. I think basically that's about it. So I'll go to Rob.
I certainly also enjoyed going up to Pinnock and reading Dr. Zeus. And it's always fun to connect with those young people and how they just come alive when an adult sits down and spends some time with them. That was beautiful. I truly enjoyed that. Last night, I want to thank the city for hosting the Loch Bowie meet and greet. At the end of the table that I sat on, one of the Loch Bowie representatives, I asked her, what could we do together that would enhance both of our communities? And one thing that she shared, I want to make sure that Gary hears, is said, it'd be nice if our trails interconnected so that we could ride from Loch Bowie all the way to the river and maybe on down the river. I thought that was a good comment, that as we plan together in the future, that would really work and be a plus to both communities. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Mayor.
I had the honor earlier this week of being asked to be a judge at the Colorado State DECA competition. And let me tell you, there are some very sharp business minds up and coming in the world. Anybody who thinks that today's kids are lacking for creativity and ability of obviously not been to one of these events. They're very sharp and very well prepared, and I was honored to be asked to be a guest. And I hear that Brighton High School fared very well. I haven't had a chance to talk to Missy Kreitzer yet and find out what our final results were, but it was very well attended and very good achievement out of our children. So.
Number of the youth are going to state, and we did win Chapter of the Year.
They're going to Nationals? Because this was state. Yeah, okay. Good.
It was in, Mark reported it Monday's edition, I believe.
No, the competition was didn't end until Tuesday.
Maybe Tuesday. JW, do you have anything for the good of the order? I guess not.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for this opportunity. Unfortunately, I missed again the senior advisory board meeting due to a conflict of being on the airport accountability committee, and most of that's all been published in the paper, and most of what came out of that meeting, what was published in the paper is all parties are happy to meet each other and share and work for the betterment of all of them. So that's kind of what's going on there. Thank you.
Thank you. I would entertain a motion
motion to adjourn.
I didn't even finish. You're ready. We have a motion. Is there a second? Second from Councilman Edwards. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? At 8:44, we're now adjourned.
Stop putting your mind up in the...